Today we're going to talk about the mitzvah of being misameach chasan ve'kala in honor of the chasanim that we have in the shir, and I guess mishalom b'par mitzvah seder, now that we're in Svira and we can't actually do the mitzvah of being misameach chasan ve'kala, so we'll talk about the mitzvah of being misameach chasan ve'kala. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Avel, Parak Yudalet Halacha Aleph, one of the more well-known passages in the Rambam writes that there's a mitzvah saseh shel divrayim, a mitzvah midrabanan, to do many things, to be mevarkel cholim, menachem avelim, lahotzi ameis, lachmas kalim, livosa orchim, lisasik v'kol tzorchi kvura, laseis alakasek, leilich v'fanav, lispod v'lachbar v'likbar, all the different parts of kvura, v'chein, l'sameach hakala v'achasim. To be misameach hakala and the chasan, and to help him out in everything that they need. And he says all of these things are examples of gemilas chasadim shabgufo, and therefore zain lahem shir. And the Rambam writes, af al pi shakol mitzvos elu midivrehem, even though all of these mitzvos are only midirabanan, harehem bechlal v'yahavta l'recha kamocha. They're included in the mitzvos asay of v'yahavta l'recha kamocha. And the way the Rambam is typically interpreted is that even though any of these mitzvos, these specific actions, are only midrabanan, but they are a kiyum da'oraisa. Whenever you do it, you are being mekayim the mitzvah da'oraisa of v'yahavta l'recha kamocha. Not only that, this seems to be a very great mitzvah, to be misameach chasan ve'kala. Certainly, if you listen to Divrei Chazal, it sounds like a very great mitzvah. The Chavetz Chaim in Sefer Avos Chesed in Perek Shishi points out that matzinu bi'izevel eshes achav hamir sha'as, the wicked Izevel, she'isisa oso la'avodah zarah, the one that got her husband involved in avodah zarah, v'gam lishpoch dam novos yisraeli, and caused him to be a murderer, and she was so awful that her punishment was a dog's eater. And the psukim in Malachim Beis tell us that when they buried her, they only found her skull and her feet and her palms of her hand. The Medrash tells us in Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, Parak Yud Zayin, why were those parts of her body spared? She would dance with her feet and shake her head in front of the kalos in order to be mesameach them, and that's why those parts of her body were spared. So this is a mitzvah gedola, but you don't have to take my word for it. The Torah in Ebenezer, Simon Samachay, mitzvah gedola l'sameach chasan v'kala. He calls it a mitzvah gedola. Interestingly, the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Samachay just says mitzvah l'sameach chasan v'kala, does not call it a mitzvah gedola. The Bach explains that what makes it a mitzvah gedola, because the Gemara tells us that we're mevatel talmud Torah in order to do achnasas kala, so it must be a mitzvah gedola. Rav Asher Weiss just points out that that's a difficult explanation to accept, because we are mevatel talmud Torah for any mitzvah that's eifshal asos hayidei achirim. That's a mefurish Gemara in Moed Katan Daf Tes Amud Beis. Any mitzvah that cannot be done by somebody else, we're mevatel talmud Torah for, even for a mitzvah drabanan. The Gemara Megillah Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, even for a mitzvah drabanan. We're mevatel Talmud Torah for Mikra Megillah. So it's hard to understand why the fact that we're mevatel Talmud Torah for it would qualify it as a mitzvah gedola. But probably the Torah calls it a mitzvah gedola because of all the Mamari Chazal that speak about how wonderful it is. Meaning how if you do this mitzvah, it's as if you were bona churvos Yerushalayim and you're zocha lechamisha kolos. The Gemara in Brachos says when you're mesameach chasan v'kala. So all of those things, that's probably why it's called a mitzvah gedola. The Gemara in Brachos, it's as if you brought a carbon toda. It's as if you were bona achas mechuvras Yerushalayim. Now, halachically, that doesn't really make any difference in terms of it's a mitzvah still like any other mitzvah, but it gives you a sense of the importance of the mitzvah. It could be the Shulchan Aruch didn't call it a mitzvah gedola, because while it's true from Chazal, it seems that it's a mitzvah gedola, but it doesn't have a halachic nafkamina. So in Shulchan Aruch, he's not going to mention those words, mitzvah gedola. There is a discussion as to what is the basis of the mitzvah being Mesameach Chasan V'Kala. What is its source? What's it really all about? And not only that, is whose mitzvah is it? Is it a mitzvah on anyone who attends a wedding? Or is it also a mitzvah on the Chasan V'Kala themselves to be B'Simcha, and we're sort of helping them in that mitzvah? From the Rambam that we read, it sounds like it's the din in Gemilas Chasadim, like all the other types of Gemilas Chasadim that are included in V'Yahavta L'Recha Kamocha. The Rush in the first part of Ksubas writes in the name of Aaron Rutenberg that that on the Yom of the Chasuna, the Simcha is a mitzvah d'oraisa, because it says b'yom chasunaso or b'yom simchas libo. So it sounds like, according to the Rush, it's a chiyuv on the Chasuna Kala to be b'simcha, and at the Chasuna, it is our job to aid them in that process of being b'simcha, of experiencing a great sense of simcha. Even according to the Rambam, certainly you'd have to agree that there is some sort of mitzvah on the chasen and kala as well. And in fact, the Rambam writes in the 10th parak of Hilchos Ishus, Halach Yud Beis, Shatakani hi lebenos Yisrael shiasamech im haba'ula shlosh yamim bein bachar bein almon. That if someone marries even a ba'ula, there's 3 days of simcha that are required. That's based on the Gemara in the first parak of Maseches Ksuvos. So certainly there's a mitzvah on the Chasen Kala to be b'simcha, and part of what we're supposed to do is to aid them and help them in that sense of simcha. The Gemara in Brachos tells us that kalanenim yisu'udas chasen ve'inu b'samcho, anyone who enjoys the su'udas chasen, who goes to a wedding and is not mesameh chasen and kala, over b'chamisha kolos, is in violation of chamisha kolos. So they quote from Rav Chanan Wasserman, a chakira. What is this iser of being nen of yisudas chasan and enam asamcha? What's the nature of that avera? Is it an avera at all? So one possibility, they say from Rav Chanan, is that it's like a din chosha mishpat. You know, they're paying your meal, they're paying for your meal when they invite you to a wedding, at least, even if you're just invited for the chuppah, you still get to partake of the shmorg, right? So you're being invited, you're being asked to participate, and you're supposed to reciprocate by, not necessarily by inviting to your own wedding, no, whatever, you'll figure that out later. But you're supposed to reciprocate at the very least by being mesameh, chasen and kala, it's a din chosha mishpat. That's the understanding. If you're invited to the wedding, that as payment for that, you're supposed to be mesameh, chasen and kala. The other possibility is that someone who's nene from the Sa'uda is considered like a part of the wedding party, and therefore he has that mitzvah to be mesameh l'chasen. Nafkamina would be, what if you have an adam chashuv, that his very hishtatfus in the party is a simcha to the chasen? If he has to do it to be mesameh as a payment for the hana that he gets, so he is being mesameh. But if you say that he's like a mechutin, then he has to act like a mechutin, then he has to act like a member of the wedding party, and he has to actually be mesameh. Rav Asher Reis points out that he doesn't think either of these things is the correct way to look at it. He says the pashas of this halacha is based on the general mitzvah being mesameh chasam akala based on gemilas chasadim, that the chacham determined that who has this requirement of the gemilas chasadim of being mesameh chasam akala? Most logically, the people at the wedding. So since that chiyuv now becomes your chiyuv by virtue of the fact that you're there, so good. So now if you don't do it, you're over b'chamisha kolos. So, but let's back up for a second. Who's obligated to be mesameh chasam kala? Sometimes in yeshiva, there will be an invitation posted on the bulletin board or something that wedding tonight, anyone who wants to come for simchas chasam kala at 10 o'clock or whatever, you know, welcome to come. So the Gemara tells us, Maseches Ksubos, stuff you'd say in Torah Rabban Mevatel Talmud Torah Lo Tzasameis Lo Achnas Kala or Mevatel Talmud Torah for Achnas Kala. Amr Lo Rabbi Dov Rabbi Loi Shem Mevatel Talmud Torah Lo Tzasameis Lo Achnas Kala. Rabbi Dov Rabbi Loi did it, but Medvar Mamurim Kshelo Kol Tzarcho Avol Yeshim O Kol Tzarcho Im Mevatlin. But if they have whatever they need, then we're not Mevatel Talmud Torah. But says the Shita Mukbetzes, Kol Tzarcho is referring to the Hotzas Hameis. If Hotzas Hameis has Kol Tzarcho, we're not Mevatel. But Misameach Chas Mekala, there's no Shir, and no matter how many people are there, it's always going to add to the Simcha if it's a bigger party. So everyone is Mevatel Talmud Torah. Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah and Ebn Ezra say that we're Mevatel Talmud for Achnas Kala and Mevatel Talmud Torah for Achnas Kala, and they never make a distinction whether there's enough people there or not. They just stam. It sounds like that the Shulchan Aruch Pasna Yeshit Mukbetzes, that we're Mevatel Talmud Torah no matter how many people are ready at the wedding, no matter if you have a shaykhus, a connection to the wedding, that you just show up, you should be a wedding crasher and just go and enjoy and be Mesameach. That's a little bit hard to understand. Meaning, the Chalkas Mechokek in Simchat and Beis writes that no, it means if you see a Kala, Nechneses L'Chopa, so then you have to be Mesameh, Chasim Mekala. But if you're not there, even though you know that there is a wedding, meaning you go to Williamsburg and there are like 4 wedding halls like within a block of each other, you know there are weddings there pretty much every night, so you know there's a wedding there. It doesn't mean that you have to go there. If you are witnessing a wedding, then you have to participate. The Beis Shmuel, however, in Sivkat and Gimel, says no. Anytime you know that there's a that there is a chasan mekala, chayov lavo lishtatev. You have to come and you have to participate. Because, and he says, the chiyuv is not only if you see the kala being nichnas l'chapa, you always have to come. Generally speaking, in Ebn Ezer, we may not be so familiar with the Nosei Kelim in Ebn Ezer, but in Yav Machlokas, Chalkas Machlokik and Beis Shmuel, generally speaking, we pass on the Beis Shmuel. So it sounds like over here, that if you're going to say like this, Beis Shmuel, that's quite a chiyuv, that whenever you hear of anything, you're always going to have to go and participate. So Rav Asher Weiss writes that Lanias Daiti says Pashut Adavar, it's Pashut Te Ein Adam Chayev LaHakdishas Kol Yomav L'Levayas Hameis V'Kol Leilosav L'Achnas Haskala. You don't have to be going to funerals every day and weddings every single night, just because there are funerals every day and weddings every night. V'lo ki yimei kedem yimeinu. Our days are not like the old days. Zos lefrim b'Yisrael used to be, he says, Yashu ishtachas gafno v'ishtachas teinaso b'kfarum v'yaros l'loem say tachbura v'tikshores. They didn't have modern forms of communication. Everyone was in their own little shtetl, their own little village, and every once in a while there was a wedding. You know, you ever go to an out-of-town wedding, not like Chicago, Los Angeles, I mean like a really out-of-town, you go to a wedding in a small community, it is the event of the world. It is the entire community comes, because they never have them. Meaning that there aren't that many people there getting married to begin with, and those that are getting married are doing it in New York. So when they actually have a wedding in their hometown, it's like the whole city comes out to participate in the wedding. That's where you would be mevatel tamar Torah for achnas kala. But if you live in a place where you know, people are making travel plans in advance and everyone is able to go in and out, and so there's no way that everyone has to stop everything that they're doing for alvayos hameis during the day and achnas kala at night. Are there any limitations on the mitzvah of being mesameh chasam v'kala? So the Chafetz Chaim writes in Avos Chesed, he says, "Ach yesh li zoher shelo yehei hakilkul yaser al atikun." We have to make sure that the destructive behavior during weddings doesn't outweigh the productive behavior of being mesameh chasam v'kala. Kigon b'makomosha bachrim pori musaru b'nei bli tarbus. People who are unsophisticated young men, miraktim im habesulos, they dance together with the young women. Shahu avon plili. He says this is an avera that's hard to even fathom, just how bad this avera is. And he writes a long footnote about how this is something that has been screamed about in many svarim. And he goes through all the various averos that you're doing. And then he writes, Ube'emes espale al mechutanim, eich manichim dvar pritzos al simchas b'neim. How do people even, how do the parents allow it that pritzos is going to happen at their children's chasana? He says, I can't be. How do this? And he says, in such a case, tzarich levroach ma'od, you have to run away. Ki ha-satan merakid b'neim, because the satan is dancing there. You don't want to be dancing with the satan. Ve'ein shum mitzvah l'sameach anoshim ke'elu, shuhufkar atzlam divrei Hashem b'faresia. And there's no mitzvah to me m'sameach such people, says the Chafetz Chaim, that don't care about the chilul Hashem of turning it into a sense of pritzos. But achim hu mishaer. But he says very interestingly, if you assess that if you say something, they'll listen to you, or if you stay there, it won't get out of hand. But the second you leave, it will get out of hand. Then you have to stay. He says this is very common in certain circles that they for the dignity of the rabbis, they don't start the mixed dancing till after the rabbis leave. The first dance is separate, then the rabbis, it's like an understood agreement, the rabbis leave, and then all sorts of pritzos breaks out. So Chafetz Chaim says, if that's the arrangement in your community, don't leave. You have to stay to make sure that that doesn't happen. In fact, I saw Rav Zilberstein in one of the volumes of Cheshukei Chemed has a shaila if a rabbi has a shir to give that night. So is the Talmud Torah de Rabin that he's got to go be magid a shir that night? Does that outweigh the fact that he knows the second he leaves the wedding, everything is going to fall apart? But bottom line is, what you see that Chafetz Chaim is very concerned about is that when there is a celebration with lots of people, and lots of young men, and lots of young women, and often lots of alcohol, right? So things things can easily get out of control. And we have to make sure that the Simchas Chasan V'Kala has a sense of Kedusha, a sense of being Tmimistik, of being a Kiddush Hashem and not a Chilul Hashem. I would argue that for that reason we should be very, very careful about consuming alcohol at weddings. More often than not, I think it has a negative effect on the type of simcha, that if you genuinely love your friend and want to be Mesameach Chasan V'Kala, then you shouldn't require liquid fuel to help you out to do that. It should come from a true sense of ahava to be Mesameach Chasan V'Kala. I've seen way too often that it gets out of control. I was Mori V'Rabbi Rav Willig often says that he had two rules when his kids got married. Rule number one is that whatever the mechutanim want, that's what goes. Rule number two is no alcohol. He said there was only one time where rule number one conflicted with rule number two, because the mechutanim wanted alcohol. Okay, so then you have to deal with that issue when such a thing happens. I was once at a chasana, and the chasana and kala were being led away from the chuppah by the group of fellows that were dancing in front of them, and they were, you know, kanahug, right? And there was a whole group of young women behind the chasan and kala dancing wildly behind the chasan and kala. So here you have this group of fellows that are looking at the chasan and kala, and they're looking straight at this group of young women that are getting all rowdy and dancing wildly. And Rabbi Sablovsky pulls me aside and he says, this is the next thing we need to be mevatel. We need to stop this. A person has to be very careful about the level of pritzos at a chasana, and that's what the Chafetz Chaim is very concerned about over here. But in general, there is a very great mitzvah of being mesameh chasan v'kala, and a person should make an effort to do so. The Gemara, it's not for naught that the Gemara goes out of its way to tell us how wild some of the Amorayim were in the way that they danced in front of a chasan and kala. Sometimes a person says, "I'm a frum guy. I'm just going to sit there with my Gemara on the side, and I'm not going to participate." No, that's not really so frum. The Gemara tells us about what does Gemara say? Who was it that took the kala up on his shoulders? We don't recommend that either. The Gemara tells Rabbi de Rabbi Lai, I think it was that. No, Rabbi de Rabbi Lai took a hadas and was merakid the fnei kala and would say kala na v'chasuda. Rishon Rabbi Yitzchak was merakid atlas, that he was juggling in front of the chasan and kala. So things that are normally beneath the dignity of a great Rabbanim, but they were doing to be Mesameach Chasan V'Kala. So it's a very great mitzvah. We should always be Zoche to share in such beautiful symptoms. Okay.